Hey, good morning, guys. Hello to everybody that is here in person. It's nice to see the top half of your faces. And to everybody online, it's nice to know that you're there. I just want to open with a word of prayer before we get started this morning. God, we thank you that no matter where we are in the world, if we are in the same room or if we are scattered across the globe, God, our connecting factor is you. So God, as we are together or separate, God, I just pray that you would help us to feel as one body, as one church, as one community of believers, supporting one another, lifting each other up, and ministering to one another. So God, as we dig into your word today, I just pray that you would reveal to our hearts what you have for us today, God, and I pray that you would prompt us to act on it, to listen and to do. Amen. I got a question for you guys this morning. Have you ever been asked, are you listening? I know I have. I've been asked that. Maybe by your mom, definitely me, or by a teacher. You know, if your mom said something like, clean your room, put your glass in the sink, your socks are on the floor again. You know, and then she asks, are you listening? Maybe when you were a teenager, you might have responded something like, yeah, I'm listening. You said my room's messy, my glass is by the couch, and my socks are by the door. But we all know that's not what mom meant. When mom says, are you listening? What she's actually saying is, did you hear me? Because I don't see you moving to do the things I just pointed out. You know, this kind of listening isn't just the act of our brain turning a sound into words and figuring out what they mean. When mom said, are you listening? She meant, are you hearing me with the intent of acting on what I said? When mom said, are you listening? It's, you better get up and move your socks. Am I right? So I want you guys to open up your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to be spending some time in verses 11 through 14 today. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And this is what it says. There is much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and does not know how to do what is right. Solid food are for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So guys, today as we continue our series through the book of Hebrews called Greater, we're going to be looking at the fifth chapter with a sermon I have entitled, Are You Listening? And every time I say, are you listening, I can just hear my mom say, are you listening? I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure I got that as a lot as a kid. Probably more times than I remember listening to. So we're going to see here, though, that the most important part of listening is not hearing, but doing. The most important part of listening is doing. You know, we pray things like, God, I want more of you. I want to understand the Bible more. I want to experience you more. Take me deeper. And the passage we're looking at today is saying, there is more, but are you ready? Are you listening? Because the most important listening is doing. And if we grab onto this today, we can start to take those steps to go deeper. We can start eating the solid food that God has for us. So let's look back just really quickly at what we've covered so far in the series. Week one, Pastor Gil let us know the two purposes of Hebrews. First, to present Jesus as greater, better, superior. And second, to encourage the audience to remain faithful to Jesus. And Pastor Gil started with the second by reminding us that we can count on Jesus. We can count on him. And that God speaks to Jesus and through Jesus. We can trust what he says. Then Pastor Al, he went through chapters 2-4 and highlighted several ways that Jesus is greater. Hebrews, a couple highlights. Jesus is greater than Moses and the promised land. He is greater than the angels and the Torah. He is actually God's word and our hope. And chapter 5 starts moving us into a new section, a section that presents Jesus as greater than the Levitical priests and Melchizedek. And you're probably thinking, who's this Melchizedek guy? Don't worry, more is to come. If you've been reading along in Hebrews, in your devotions at home, he's coming. He's coming. More about him is coming. But the original audience, they would know about the Levitical priesthood. They would know about this Melchizedek guy. They'd be familiar with this. So the first part of this chapter, it actually introduces the ways that Jesus meets the requirements of the role of high priest. And in fact, is greater than the high priest from the line of Aaron and comes from a much older line of priests through Melchizedek. Now, like I said, the author has more to say about the high priestly line, but first, our passage, it kind of takes a break. It takes a break because they aren't ready for what he's about to say. They aren't ready to understand and to grasp it. In verse 11 and 12, the author says, you know, there's more we've got to say, but I don't think you're going to understand it yet. Are you listening? You've been Christians for so long already. And we see their lack of spiritual maturity that the author would expect from someone that has been Christians for a long time. You know, they don't have the maturity and the experience to really grasp the deeper theological truths. They're not mature enough for what is coming later in Hebrews. Instead, they're going over the ABCs of Christianity over and over again. Now, don't get me wrong. Those things are very important, but we shouldn't stay there forever. You know, you've probably heard the Christian life called things like faith journey or a Christian walk. And you might have heard people talking about growing in faith or becoming more like Jesus. As we see in verses 12 to 14, you can skip up a couple of slides for me there. Sorry. The author uses the example of how our diets change over time to show the stunted growth, the stunted mature spiritual growth, sorry, of the audience they're addressing. The milk babies drink and the solid food that's for the mature. Being a Christian, being a Christ follower is not a static thing. That's why we talk about a journey, a walk. That's why we talk about growing. It's meant to be this progressive lifestyle. We grow, we mature. You know, and it has nothing to do with age or how long we've been a Christian necessarily. To be spiritually mature is to know the difference between right and wrong, truth and false teachings, discerning our own will from that of God's, especially when they're in conflict. But we will never mature if in our listening, we hear God's word, but we don't put it into action. We'll be stunted just like the people that the author of Hebrews is talking to. Paul actually gives us a picture of maturity that I love over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. He says this, "Then we will no longer be immature like children, And this is what immature looks like. We won't be tossed and blown by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, here's maturity. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and grows full of love. Now, I don't know about you, but I love that my spiritual maturity isn't just about me. It's about we. If I sit back instead of doing my part, it's not just me that misses out on growing. And I don't know about you, but I'm not done maturing yet. And honestly, I hope I never feel like I have no further to go. Because I know that I could never reach that level of Christ-like perfection this side of eternity while I'm still on earth. So how do we listen in a way that helps us take steps closer to Jesus? How do we listen in a way that we are becoming more like Jesus? How do we keep from getting stuck right where we are now, like the audience was? Well, Hebrews chapter 5, studying it, I think it's got three keys to help us be better listeners, to help us better listen. So the first one is probably the most obvious. Pray believing. Pray believing. That's kind of two parts. One is the pray part. It's hard to listen to someone if you never have a conversation with them. Or if you do all the talking. You know, and the other part is believing. You're not just talking to God. You're being like, God, you hear me and you are able to answer my prayer. Hebrews 5:7 reminds us of Jesus' life of fervent prayer to the Father, believing that he was able to hear and answer those prayers. And we know that Jesus' prayer life was not just a one-way conversation. He talked and he listened. And then he obeyed. He followed through on what God was calling him to do. Even walking the road to the cross. So the second key is obey in all seasons. This one's definitely harder. I think most of us would admit that obedience is sometimes hard. Sometimes our obedience, though, it means continuing to walk through or even into a very difficult situation. You know, Hebrews 5:8 says, even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. He grew in obedience and he suffered. This is our example, people. This is our example. Obedience doesn't always mean that we're going to escape suffering. On the contrary, the cost of our obedience may be suffering, like it was for Jesus. But some of our greatest lessons in obedience come in times of suffering. I want to tell you a little story of myself and obedience and suffering. All right, almost 2 years ago, I accepted a position as family pastor in Truro, Nova Scotia. So I packed up my life and moved across the country, almost 5,000 kilometers away from my brand new niece, my family, my friends. And those 18 months I spent in Nova Scotia included the hardest months of my life so far. In the midst of the isolation I was feeling because of COVID, I was also experiencing health issues. I had pain. I had constant fatigue. I received an unexpected mental health diagnosis. And while dealing with all of these things, with the isolation and health issues and trying to see doctors virtually and all of this, my families and friends so far away, There's definitely moments where I wondered, why am I here? Did I mishear you, God? Did you not call me here? Because I thought you did. I had to keep reminding myself that all of the struggles I was experiencing had to have a purpose. They had to. Because God's word says they do. I had to remind myself over and over again to trust that moving across the country to start a new job was an act of obedience. I wasn't suffering because I was disobedient. I was suffering because I was obedient. So I knew something good had to come out of every hard thing. There was a reason for it, a lesson to learn, a thought or an attitude I had to adjust. And I did learn a lot. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about God. I learned a lot about myself. And my obedience was more importantly and ultimately more beneficial than my temporary comfort. I'm okay with that. Obeying in the hard seasons of life often brings the biggest and most impactful lessons and growth. So the third key for better listening is practice makes perfect. And you know, the more we listen and follow through, the easier it gets. The more familiar God's voice and promptings become. I think that's why this figure of speech is so popular. Practice makes perfect. Hebrews 5:14, it says this, solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. I think we're all familiar with the saying, practice makes perfect. The more we do something, the easier it gets, theoretically. You know, think about in your mind here, I'm going to take you back in history. Some of you further than others, some of you not that far. Think about the first time your parent took you out to a parking lot or a country road to drive for the first time. Think about that first driving experience, if you dare. I'd guess, like myself, it was probably vastly different than your experience driving to work or the grocery store this week. Yeah? Yeah, I'm getting some chuckles here. I think somebody had a fender bender. Every little detail of our dashboards, you know, the curve of the roads we drive all the time, and that feeling of the slick roads after the rain, they all become more and more familiar the more we do it, right? Until we can almost, for better or worse, drive in autopilot sometimes, completely forgetting how we got to where we are. Practice makes perfect. It's actually part of how our brains were designed. For good or for bad, the more we do something, the stronger our brains are wired to do it again. And it's true of hearing and obeying God too, just like driving, just like walking, just like riding a bike. The more we listen, the easier it is to hear him. The more we obey his promptings, the more we act on what we're hearing, the more natural it becomes for us to do. The most important part of listening is doing. And as we take more time to listen and obey, despite our own desires, we'll continue to look more and more like Jesus. So what's your next step? What is it that you need to do to walk further in your spiritual maturity? If the most important part of listening is doing, we need to ask ourselves, are you listening? Are you doing? Are you actually responding to what you hear? Are you just sticking with the same old over and over again? Now, if you aren't even drinking the milk, you know, the basic ABCs of Christianity, maybe your next step today is actually to listen and obey to God for the very first time. To repent of your sin, to turn away from your old ways of living and thinking and turn towards what God has for you. To say to God, I need your forgiveness. I want you to be in charge of my life. I want you to help me grow in spiritual maturity. Or if you are, maybe you're drinking milk, maybe you're eating meats, maybe you're eating those solid foods. Is there a step of obedience that God is calling you to take? Is there a step of obedience that maybe God's been calling you to take for a while? You know, some of you may already know what that next step is. Maybe God's been asking you to tithe or tithe more, to turn off your TV, spend more time reading the Bible or praying, maybe letting go of a grudge or forgiving someone. In a moment here, we're going to take some time to just stop and pray. We're going to stop, we're going to pray, we're going to listen as the closing song plays. We're going to ask God what he wants our next step of obedience to be. Because I can't tell you what that is for you. But I can guarantee you, God's got something that he wants for you next. And then we're just going to listen. We're going to listen to what God has to say. So you don't have to sing along with the song, just let it play. But just listen. Maybe God's going to give you a word, a song, a picture is going to come to mind. Maybe a person will come to mind that you need to forgive or maybe bless somehow this week. And then finally, you guys are just going to pray silently about what it is you think you heard. Just pray about what it is that you think God's telling you he wants you to do next. And commit to taking steps towards what God is calling you to do. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to listen. All right? God, as we come before you right now, we come in faith, knowing that you hear us and have something to say to us today. God, you have a next step that you want each and every one of us to take today. So God, we just invite you to speak. We invite you to speak, and we will listen. We will hear and we will do. Amen. So as the song plays, let's just each listen in prayer. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel, whatever posture you want.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Let me hear you singing that show. No! light up. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow!